thank you. Now, as we've been hearing, we've had our week of prayer over the past week. And during that time, we've been committing ourselves to pray more regularly, both individually, but also as a body of people together here. Last week, if I remember where my clicker is, we've got a PowerPoint. Last week, Jonathan encouraged us to pray on all occasions, using this verse from Ephesians as well, to pray on all occasions at all times with all kinds of prayer. So pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And we thought a bit about the different types of ways of praying and different types of prayer. So, being slightly nosy, you don't have to give an answer to this, but how's your prayer life been in the past week? On what sort of occasions have you found opportunity to pray? Maybe different than you might have done in the past without that encouragement from last week. What types of things have been on your heart to pray for in the last week? One of the things we learn about prayer in what we're going to look at in a moment is, you know, the importance of knowing one another, that the corporate body of Christ. We get to understand God's love for us better jointly, not individually. And one of the blessings of prayer is getting to know the needs of one another. And those in our fellowship, and as Sean's been praying as well, those beyond our fellowship as well. So hopefully, in this past week, you have seized those opportunities and just been reminded to make the most of the opportunities God's given you to pray for other people. Well, this week, we're going to see how God encouraged us to pray, and we're going to look at the power of prayer. So we're going to do that by looking at this prayer of Paul, where he's praying for the church in Ephesus. And there's three themes that emerge. There's probably more, but any more than that, we'd all sort of die of exhaustion. So we're going to think about unlimited access to God. We're going to look at God's unlimited power. And we're going to think briefly about God's limitless love. So, unlimited access to God, God's unlimited power, and God's limitless or unlimited love. Before we do that, it's warm in here. You're all probably a bit tired, and you've been, you know, sat passive for a few moments. So, why don't you have a little discussion? I want you to think about this question this week. I always like this bit. The question for this week is, have you ever attended an event that was really difficult to get tickets for? Or can you think of an event that you would love to get tickets for? You know, it's pretty exclusive. Maybe it's expensive. It's hard to get the ticket. You may be put in the waiting room for ages and ages online until you can eventually get it. But can you think of a time when either you've been to something where the ticket was difficult to get hold of, or can you think of an event that you would love to get tickets for, if only it was possible? It could be sports matches, it could be festivals, concerts, galas, grand openings, product launches, Oscar Brit Awards ceremonies, the splash event on Wednesday. It could be any of those things. Have a moment, just discuss at your table. What have you been to, or what would you love to go to if only it was possible to get hold of a ticket? Give yourselves a minute to chat. A few here who have a story to tell about an exclusive or hard to get ticket which they were successful in getting hold of. Anyone got a story about a ticket they did manage to get? Janet.
Many years ago. And I got there. I can't even remember who he was now. He was obviously very popular at the time. And she came and went right back into my shoe.
Oh, and how old were you at the time?
Probably about 14 or 15.
Oh, yeah. I mean, getting to a show like that, difficult to get hold of, and, you know, Sounds like you met somebody important as well. Jez?
The Olympic velodrome. I was desperate. I so wanted to get tickets for the velodrome. And I tried so hard. I was going on the website all the time. And the Olympic, all the tickets sold out for the Olympics this far. Then the Paralympics came up. In fact, I've been following some of the sites there. And I was still trying. And then finally, one morning, at about 6:30 in the morning, when you're hitting the press,
a great event. Yeah. So perseverance paid off. Fantastic. Anyone sort of got a story or something they can share about a ticket they would desperately love to get a hold of if only they could afford it or a right member of the right thing or whatever days? The what, sorry? Yeah, well, I'm afraid my budget isn't going to stretch to that because I've been looking this week to see how much they cost. I can tell you now, you can get a premier package at Wembley next year for just two grand. Just £2,000. A sniff at the price. I mean, that gets you two tickets as well, so it's a bargain, isn't it? Just £1,000 for a ticket to a concert. That's, of course, if you're successful at getting it. Joe? In World Cup, like, you are talking about rugby, obviously. So, England World Cup. How far were you expecting to get with England? Finals, okay, confident, a few years' time. Anyone else? Desperate for a ticket, exclusive event, Sam.
So, Crystal Palace were in the FA Cup semi-final 2 years ago.
Okay.
45,000 Palace fans were going, but unfortunately it fell on Easter Sunday. So, yeah.
So you chose not to. Good sacrifice there, Sam. Anyone else from this table? Eleanor. Yeah. Eurovision. I think that'd be a great party. That'd be so much fun. If you enter into the spirit of it and just laugh at everything and like get dressed up, it'd be amazing. So yeah, Wimbledon's very difficult to get hold of as well. So I've already mentioned I've done some research into Taylor Swift. You know, having this Taylor Swift moment, I'm not sure where that's come from. But yeah, in Cincinnati last year, tickets for her concert on StubHub were ranging between $1,200 and $18,000. That's a lot of money. So that's for pop stars. If you think about exclusive events, this was an exclusive event earlier this year. The coronation of King Charles III and Queen Camilla. Now, you probably didn't know, because I didn't know this, there's only 2,000 guests, but you could apply to have a role in the ceremony. We're all too late, not only because we've missed a deadline, but he's being crowned by now. But the deadline was the day after my birthday, which is probably why I forgot all about it. Now, this was to have a role in his ceremony. Anyone could apply. But of course, there was a certain criteria. You had to outline your claim to perform a role at his ceremony. You had to outline the evidence that your claim has been performed at previous coronations and show your in slightly smaller print notice, show your connection to those who previously performed the role. Additional evidence can be attached to your submission. So, if you had a great-grandfather or grandfather who had been the sword bearer or something like that, at a previous coronation, you could have claimed, I should be the sword bearer wearing that fancy, you know, Aragorn, Lady Aragorn style outfit and carrying the sword because my great grandfather did that. It should be a bit strange. So, but we all missed a chance, I guess. You didn't know about that. But even had you got the ticket for the Taylor Swift concert, $18,000, or been to the coronation, performed the role, I doubt very much you'd have had an opportunity to speak to Taylor Swift, to speak to Queen Camilla, and very unlikely you'd have had a chance to speak to King Charles III. So on that basis, surely there's zero chance that we, that you or I, could meet with God and speak with Him. And I was just thinking about this, even to make this comparison is ridiculous, isn't it? To make a comparison between your mighty holy God and a pop star or a celebrity or one of the rulers of this world. How could we possibly have a meeting face to face or speaking directly to God who made the universe? Because we learn in the Old Testament, only one time during the year could the high priest, having sacrificed bulls, go into the most holy of place in the temple to meet with God. So how could we, with all of our faults, expect to speak with God? And yet you all know that it's possible for us as believers. And this is what Paul says, and this is why I love this verse of Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, in Him, Christ Jesus, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So people like you and me can come before God. We have complete access to the King of Kings. There's no waiting lists. There's no being put in a waiting room. There's no exclusive tickets. There's no exorbitant fee, which is going to cost you more than your mortgage. There's no need to prove that a family member is also having a conversation with God or speaks with God or has a special relationship with God. So if you're the only one in your family who speaks with God, if your siblings don't, if your brothers and sisters don't, if your children don't, if your husband or wife, your partner don't, that doesn't exclude you from speaking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I think that is extraordinary and incredible that God has made it possible for us to have free, unlimited access to God. You think how hard it is to get a ticket to Glastonbury or something like that. Who cares? You can meet the God of gods, the God who made you in His image to have a relationship with Him. And you can speak directly to Him and it costs you nothing. So does it mean that anyone can approach God? Well, Paul does give a criteria. Let me just go back to the verse which we just had. It says, in Him, meaning in Christ Jesus, and through faith in Jesus, we may approach God. So we must be in Christ. We must have this relationship with God. If we've confessed Jesus our King as our Savior, if we've confessed our sins, if we've repented of those, and we've turned to God and we've accepted Him as our King, as well as our Savior, then we have that access. Regardless of our background, regardless of what our past life may have been like, regardless of our other family members, He's made it possible. And we have this free, unlimited access. And He's made it possible for anyone. He says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So can anyone pray to God? Yes, according to this. If anyone calls on the name of God as their Lord and Savior, He will hear them. And then if you are then become in Christ because you've been saved by Him, then your prayers are heard by the King of Kings. Jesus said, I'm the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. And that's what begins that process as we know. So, God richly blesses all who call on Him. If you're a Christian already, are you and I, are we making the most of this free, unlimited access, all areas pass that we have to God? That pass was completely free to us. It cost us nothing. But the cost to God for us to have that opportunity to speak with Him was the sacrifice of His own Son. That's the enormity. That's how much God loves each one of us and wants us to speak with Him. That's what it cost Him, but the cost to us is nothing. Secondly, we think about praying to the one whose power is limitless. We've seen this prayer by Paul, that prayer can radically transform the lives of those who love God. And the reason prayer can transform our lives is not about us, it's about God. It's because God's power is limitless. So think about your own life and think about perhaps struggles that you may have or things you're concerned about, thinking about the year ahead if you're just starting back at university or whatever it might be. We can all feel aware of our own weakness. We can feel we have struggles, things we find difficult. You look at the news, we can feel insignificant and pretty powerless when we're faced with the problems of the world. Think about the war in Ukraine has been going on for well over a year now. The climate emergency, the cost of living crisis, the global pandemic that we've all lived through. It can be quite overwhelming when preachers remind you of all those things in a single sentence. And studies done earlier this year, there was a study done by the Mental Health Foundation back in May this year, which found that nearly 3/4 of the UK's population had struggles of anxiety, with a fifth of all the people surveyed in the UK, a fifth of them said they were anxious most or all of the time. I don't know whether you are one of those 20% of our population. Do you feel anxious really most or all of the time? Or are you one of those, you know, nearly 3/4 who, certainly if you think back to the past couple of weeks, you've had moments of great anxiety or just feeling anxious about what lies ahead of you? Others of you, maybe that you feel your bodies are getting a bit older, don't work quite as well, fatigue sets in a bit earlier than it used to. Remember Paul's situation. Paul was writing as a prisoner in Rome in chains. He had his struggles. The church in Ephesus, they were anxious about Paul and about his well-being. They were in danger of being discouraged. So, how are we and how are they to respond to weakness, to anxiety, and to feelings of powerlessness? Well, Paul prays for two specific things for the believers in Ephesus. And the reason for looking at these, I think they're great things to pray for ourselves, but to pray for one another because of our love for one another in the church. And this first thing is praying for God's power to transform us. So I pray that out of His glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. There's quite a lot to get a hold of there, but the bottom line is, it's a prayer for God's power to transform us and those that we pray for. Because by praying this prayer, we're praying that God would transform us to make us more like Jesus, to make us more like His Son. The thing that struck me is Paul doesn't pray that their situation would change, but for God to change them. So think about situations you may face. You may want to pray that God would change that situation, make it easier, take something away from you. And it's fine to pray that. Paul prays himself 3 times for the thorn in his flesh to be taken from him. But God doesn't. And God may not. But God will promise to give you the power to be transformed in the situation you face as you become more like Him and learn to trust Him. And I have to speak for myself as well. So many of us might wish that we were stronger, that fitter, enjoy better health, we're free from anxieties or concerns. But God may just be saying to us, I want you to rest in me. I want you to rest and come to trust in me more. because by my power I will transform you and help you to live and cope with what you face. I want you to think for a moment. We're going to go on for a little bit longer than 5 o'clock because we started a bit late, but I want you to have a quick discussion at your table. And I don't know the answer to this question either. It's a difficult one. But I want you to think about, what difference does it make to you to know that you're loved? It might be by your spouse, if you're married. What difference does it make to you to know that you're loved by your spouse? What difference does it make to you to know that you're loved by your parents? What difference does it make to you to know that you're loved by your grandparents, by your siblings, by your friends? I want you to have a think about that for a moment. You may, feel free to discuss it. It's not an easy question to put into words, your answer. But have a think and maybe try and chat for a moment together. What difference does it make to you to know that you're loved? I want to have one-word answers from people. It's difficult, I think, to put this into words, the difference that love has on a person. It may be easier to think, how would I feel if I didn't feel that I was loved by my spouse? How would I feel if I felt my parents didn't love me? How would I feel if my friends showed no concern for me? And that's kind of the difference that being loved makes. So, single words. So it sounds like an English test, this, doesn't it? Anyone willing to shout something out? Security. Yep, that's the one word I could grasp hold of myself. Yep, anyone else? Different word, which they had. Authenticity. Meaning that you can be authentic, you can be your real self, not pretending, perhaps. Joe? Validated, I love that, yeah, it's a lot of syllables in that word, meaning you feel like endorsed, people love you for who you are, so you're validated, supported, endorsed by them. Beck? Yeah, to be encouraged, knowing that, you're loved for who you are, you don't have to put on a pretense or try and be better than you are. Anything else? We've had lots of...
confidence.
Yeah. Gives you confidence in, being able to be who you are. It's quite difficult to put into words, but I think all of those sum it up really well. And the reason for asking is because I was struggling with this next point, where Paul prays that they would know the deep love of God. What difference does that make to the believer? To know the deep love of God. And it's probably not a million miles different to some of those things we've said. Knowing that God loves you from eternity more than can be put into words. So Paul prays, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people. See that bit where it's important to be part of a group of the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and deep and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So, knowing God's love for us more, if we could each grasp hold of how much God loves us, what difference would that make for your life and for my life? Who could you be if you really grasped hold of that? What could you do for God if you really seized hold of and had your mind open to how much he loves you? That thing of being validated, that thing of being secure, that thing of being able to be yourself, being confident in serving God, in speaking for him, in living for him, because you know that he loves you immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine. So as Christians, if we're Christian today, we have free, unlimited access to God in prayer. We pray to the one whose power is limitless to transform our lives and make us more like him. And he wants us to have a deeper experience of his limitless love. So my question for us as we finish is, what's limiting your prayer life? Where do your priorities perhaps need to be adjusted to take hold of that access that you have to the King of Kings, to the Saviour of the world, and to the one who loves you so much? Let us close with a prayer.